On today's insights, what are SMART goals and why are they important? Facebook ads are changing again, and it has a direct impact on your staffing firm. And we chat about Google reviews. Are you responding to both negative and positive feedback? Today's insights is brought to you by Haley Marketing's Hot Summer Deals. Looking to fire up your marketing or recruiting? Let us help light the fire. To learn more about Haley Marketing's 8 Hot Summer Deals, visit haleymarketing.com/summer. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights. Tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, Matt Lozar. Matt, couple of great topics this episode. Facebook's up to their usual ways, making changes to their advertising platform. We're going to chat about SMART goals and, more importantly, why they matter. And something that's been on the show before, but not really in this capacity, Google reviews. You ready?
Ready to go.
All right, let's get to the show.
Content Blueprint.
Matt, I'm reading Start With Why by Simon Sinek, which also happens to be one of the most viewed TED Talks, and I had to bring this topic onto the show because not only is it the fundamental purpose of the book, but it keeps coming up as we consult with individuals throughout the staffing industry. What are SMART goals, and more importantly, why do they matter?
SMART goals are, SMART's an acronym, you know, S-M-A-R-T, and when you see the phrase or the term SMART goals, SMART is usually in all caps. So we want to break those down letter by letter here real quick. The S is specific. The M is measurement. The A is achievable. The R is realistic or relevant. And then the T is time bound. So we'd want to look at when you set goals or try to set goals, the process of creating those goals for yourself or your company. You want to really look at those different components of the SMART goal and see how your goal matches each of those areas.
Without a SMART goal, for me, you really just have a hope or a wish. You have a dream of, I want to generate more applications. The minute that you define a SMART goal, again, something that's specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, you have a defined destination. Matt, think about a road trip that you might go on with your family. If you were to just get in the car and start driving 60 miles an hour down the road, there's zero chance, maybe some chance, that you'll actually make it to Disney World. You might make it to Disney World. Instead, you reverse engineer that road trip. You have your destination in mind. You come up with a strategy for how you'll get there. And then you think through the tactics that will ultimately fuel that strategy and get you to that goal. When we think about SMART business goals, it's the exact same situation. We need to have a defined goal. We need to know where we're trying to get before we deploy that strategy.
Yeah, Brad gets really fired up about this topic, and it's a topic Haley Marketing Group really likes to focus on when we consult with clients and help them to plan, you know, with their products and services that they use with Haley Marketing, because if we don't have that SMART goal, we aren't able to measure success. It's a dream, right? A dream is a goal without a deadline. So if, you know, I want to grow my business, not a SMART goal.
It's a hope or a wish.
Correct. A SMART goal would be, I want to grow my warehouse business by 10% in 6 months. It could be a totally unrealistic goal right now, but, you know, maybe for your business, that's a very relevant goal, very realistic goal for you. What's 10% of your business in 6 months?
Right. We want to think through, again, this SMART goal, something that's specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. Because we want to be able to hold ourselves accountable in 6 months, in a year, if we're just deploying strategy and tactics, if we're just thinking through, okay, I'm going to post this picture on Facebook today, who cares? Think through what that end result is. What are you trying to do as a business? And then what tactics are going to drive you towards that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really thinking about, you know, how can you really make that SMART goal? And then, you know, the strategies and the tactics to get you there. It's challenging because it's hard in that, probably that last part is the time bound part. Like if I just want to grow my business by 10%, great. You might do that in 10 years.
Right.
But your business might be closed before that happens, or who knows what could happen. So if you really focus on those, that longer term goals, and then, you know, dig a little deeper, focus on shorter goals to get you to that long one. That's how you can really achieve that SMART goal to help your business grow, to implement the right marketing tactics, could be the right operations tactics, you know, other tactics on the sales side, anything that can help your business grow. Really start with that SMART goal, that really specific goal, and then how can you create the right processes, strategies, and tactics to get you to that point.
So bringing this back to Simon Sinek and start with why, he mentions the golden circle. And the majority of business owners think about this circle in the reverse way. And the way that they currently do, they start with what they do, how they do it, and then why they do it. We need to rethink that and instead think about why we do the things we do, how we do them, and then what we do. If we're thinking through our day-to-day operations and we're thinking through content marketing, we're thinking through recruitment marketing, we need to think about why we're doing it. What is our goal? What is our purpose? Then how are we going to do it? And ultimately, what are we going to do day-to-day to drive us towards that goal? Don't start with what. Don't start with the tactics. Don't start with the day-to-day. Instead, always come back to your why. Always come back to what you're trying to achieve as a staffing specialist, as a recruiter, as a business owner. What are you trying to achieve, and what day-to-day tactics will ultimately get you there?
Yeah, and it's create your goal. Like, my goal right now is to make, you know, the program I'm working on here, programmatic, $1 million by the end of the year. And it's, I believe I am 70-ish% of the way there. Like, it's a little challenging thing to say. Like, there's 4 months left. We're taping this end of August, so we're on pace, but you know, that's the goal. If I don't hit the goal, is it a loss? A little bit, but we try to celebrate those wins as we get there and really to focus on how can you get to that SMART goal at the end.
Right, but you set a goal. Correct. So knowing that you wanted to reach $1 million by the end of the year, by January 1, you can then break that down into 12-month increments. You can break that down into bite-sized goals and checkpoints along the way. If you don't have that SMART goal from day one, you never know if you're successful or not. You never know if you reach that destination, just like that family road trip.
Right. And right now, what I'm doing with that SMART goal is how can I improve my reporting on the end of the monthly basis to show more value to clients? Like, it's literally something I'm going to do this week, is what can I do to make it simpler and easier to understand? So how we can use our expertise and recommendations to help the recruitment side of staffing agencies grow.
So to bring this full circle and to wrap up segment one here, think about your SMART goal for the week, the month, maybe it's the upcoming year. What is your SMART goal and what are you trying to achieve? Again, a SMART goal is specific. It's measurable. It's achievable. It's realistic and it's time bound. Don't get caught in the day-to-day tactics. Instead, think through that main overall goal and how the strategies and tactics you deploy will drive you one step closer towards that goal. We're going to take a real quick break. When we get back, Matt and I are going to discuss the recent changes to Facebook's advertising platform that have a direct impact on staffing and recruiting.
Hi, this is David Stearns, CEO at Haley Marketing. It's summer, and that's our favorite time of the year. So to celebrate, we're having hot deals on several of our most popular services, including websites, blogging, video marketing, recruiting, digital dominance, and our award-winning content marketing service, Haley Mail. Want to know more about our hot summer deals? Check out haleymarketing.com/summer.
Social reach.
Matt, Facebook is up to their usual ways, making more changes to their advertising platform. And while we're constantly monitoring Facebook ads at Haley Marketing Group, this one is important. This one directly impacts us and the industry. Tell us what's going on.
Facebook has changed the targeting options for employment ads along with housing and credit ads. And it's a result of how companies, not just staffing agencies, any companies, were targeting their Facebook job advertisements, you know, in the past few years. They weren't following the traditional employment law, that non-discrimination laws that we think about when we post job advertisements or job postings for jobs not online. Like, if it's a newspaper or just posting it in your office or somewhere in a public forum. I don't want to get into HR compliance too much, but that was the reasoning for these changes. Was Facebook saw discrimination on its pages, actually was brought to them through a number of different lawsuits, and they decided to make changes to restrict how these ads could be displayed.
So Facebook at one time was allowing individuals to target, let's say, based on age.
Yes.
Not intentionally. That's just how Facebook's advertising platform was operating.
Correct.
So they've recently made changes where if you're promoting a job in Buffalo, New York, you no longer have the option to promote based on age.
Yeah, there's a...
For example.
Correct. There's a number of changes. The first one is when you create the advertisement, you have to literally check a box that says this is a special ad category. And when you do that, the interface, so on your screen with Facebook, changes. It literally... Okay. Makes adjustments right in front of you. And then there's all these different areas that get adjusted or restricted on how you can target the job advertisement.
And at Haley Marketing Group, we've seen a ton of success from promoting jobs, from promoting employment opportunities directly on Facebook. So, Matt, you know, this is kind of a concern. Like, are we now nervous to promote these jobs and boost these jobs? Or is it just something to be mindful of for the listeners right now?
I don't know about nervous. That's a pretty strong word. A little bit, because our options are target or just restricted. And I think being transparent and just saying this is what's available.
Yep.
And what's really changed is, you know, you can't, the location targeting is now 15-mile radius. You used to be able to target by zip codes.
Okay.
So the minimum is 15 miles and you can't exclude areas. So there was actually a client, you know, Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan, they like to exclude Canada just because just all the different employment statuses. They didn't want to hire Canadians or have their advertisements seen in Canada. You can't do that anymore. You can't target based on, you know, age and gender physically goes away. And then the interest, or what I think is going to be really the hardest part of this, in that the interests that are available aren't as diverse and wide as they were previously.
So essentially all Facebook's doing here is making sure that their advertising platform is compliant with typical hiring. You know, you wouldn't discriminate against age, location, gender if you're hiring somebody face to face. Facebook had this advertising platform that wasn't really ready for employment. They weren't really ready for job listings. They've understood, hey, we might have got this one wrong. We got this one mixed up a little bit. Hand up, that's on us. We made some changes here to make sure it's more efficient for you and is also compliant with what you're doing in the day-to-day.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's taking that responsibility essentially off of Facebook, and, you know, it's just taking away from everyone. And in the past, I mean, you were letting people break the law, which, is that Facebook's fault or is that the person actually targeting in a discriminatory fashion? And Facebook decided, we're not going to let people do that. And there's a pretty good argument there on for either side of it, but now you have to really work within the confines of these restrictions. And I think the one really important area I think can work very well is to target a list that you upload into Facebook.
Walk us through what that means. How can you target, let's say, an ATS list on Facebook?
So in your candidate database software, in your applicant tracking system, you can export a list of previous candidates that you have applied for your company and you are looking to re-engage them or to reactivate them. Maybe they haven't reached out to you in the past 2 years, 5 years. So you export that list as an Excel spreadsheet, you know, really just need their email addresses, and then you upload it into Facebook. So if, you know, Matt Lozar or Brad Biley's email address is in your database and it's also a Facebook profile, that's called a match, and your matched audience is the list of people that are in your applicant tracking system that are also on Facebook with that exact same email address.
For me, hearing that out loud, that seems like the best place to get started. If you have a database of, you know, 10,000 candidates, why not upload that to Facebook? See if those individuals have a Facebook account. Facebook will do all the work for you behind the scenes, and then you can start to serve ads to individuals who already know who your brand is and already know who you are. So the likelihood that they're going to click on that ad or click on that post or click on that job is higher because they already know who you are. There's already some brand awareness built around your logo and built around that brand.
Yeah, it's challenging to get anyone new to, you know, not only get familiar with their brand, but also to then convert to apply for a job with you. So if you already have someone that has brand awareness of your company, you know, that's your, you know, part of the battle has already been completed there, to where they know about, you know, your staffing agency, they've applied for a job with you previously, maybe they had a positive experience, but just their next assignment went somewhere else. So if you can reactivate them to keep your company top of mind with their job application activities and their career development, then you should really focus on that. And that's, I think, one of the most effective tactics that Facebook has still allowed in its job advertisement platform and can really help you to find that, you know, hard to find talent right now in this very challenging recruitment environment.
All right, Matt, so wrap up this segment for us. One final takeaway. What do you think the listeners should know most about Facebook ads? Should they be concerned about this new change to the advertising platform? If not, what should we be doing next?
Concerned probably a little bit just because your targeting options aren't as strong, I think, in that interest category. Like, you literally can't target anyone in healthcare. So it's thinking about the best ways to build your audiences, and that's just using Facebook in the best way possible. You know, best capacity possible, because Facebook is still very popular, especially in that, you know, little bit older of a demographic, but you're going to serve the ads to everybody, and Facebook's going to show the ads to people that engage with them, and Facebook is still a very good tool for recruitment in the right industry. So I wouldn't go away from Facebook and look at other areas. I would just use it as part of your recruitment strategy to continue to find candidates for your open job orders.
Seen and heard.
Are you responding to both negative and positive feedback that you receive on Google? If not, you should start, and here's why. There's a support article on Google My Business titled "Improve Your Local Ranking on Google." We'll put a link to that article in the show notes. But what we really want to talk about right now is why you should be responding to these online reviews. What I'm going to do is read a real short clip from the article. Again, we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But it's titled Manage and Respond to Reviews. It says, interact with customers by responding to reviews that they leave about your business. Responding to reviews shows that you value your customers and the feedback that they leave about your business. High quality positive reviews from your customers will improve your business's visibility and increase the likelihood that a potential customer will visit your location. Encourage customers to leave feedback by creating a link they can click to write reviews. We've talked about online reviews specifically on Google before on Insights, but we talked about how to manage those negative reviews. We specifically mentioned Jay Baer's book, Hug Your Haters, and his rule of twos, which is to respond to that negative review twice and always come back to leaving that secondary feedback offline. We never want to get into a shouting match when we get into chatting with somebody about the review that they left. But this is interesting because as we look at Google My Business and we look at ranking factors and how to rank on Google, it's interesting to me, Matt, that managing and responding to reviews is actually seen as a ranking factor by Google.
Yeah, Google wants you to build trust with your audience. And that's what responding to positive reviews and negative reviews actually does. It's not just Matt goes and leaves a positive review, Brad goes and leaves a positive review, or we go and leave negative reviews, and then it just goes out into this abyss of the internet. It's an actual person-to-person interaction, which I know has been a really big push of Brad's, you know, especially first half of 2019, was putting that person back into social media. And now it's just moving over to that online review area. And online reviews are more of a ranking factor in 2019 than they were in 2015. And it's Google's telling us it's a ranking factor. So you have to use that as part of your overall local SEO strategy.
Yeah, and that comes from a book called Marketing Rebellion by Mark Schaefer, who talks about the most human company wins, and bringing the most human approach to everything you do with your marketing is what cuts you through the noise and the clutter. For me, it comes back to being human and putting the social back in social media. If we think about online reviews, yes, we want to respond to those negative reviews because we want to position our brand in a positive light. If somebody says that they had a negative experience with you, you want to get out in front of that and say, hey, I'm sorry that we fell short here. We strive for world-class service, and it looks like we didn't hit the mark. Please give me a call. Personally, I'd love to chat about this. But what's often overlooked is the positive. And you might even think about the day-to-day. If somebody has a problem with you in your office and they say something about it, you have that conversation. But if somebody says, hey, Matt, great job on that, you know, work yesterday. Hey, thanks, and you're done. We still want to acknowledge that positive, especially on Google. We want to acknowledge that and say, hey, thank you for leaving this feedback. Thank you for taking the time out of your day. Everyone's busy. Thank you for taking the 3 to 5 minutes for responding and letting us know about our service here. We really appreciate it. If there's anything we can do to help you in your job search in the future, please let us know.
Right. That's exactly the point that Brad says at the end there, I think, is really key. We're thanking them. You know, maybe we can be a little specific about their experience, but then how can you get them back, or maybe other people as well, to grow your business? But, you know, once you've made that initial connection, that returning visits going to be easier than to get an entirely new visit. So you're focusing on that returning customer or returning candidate, returning client, to build on that relationship and get them to come back to maintain that business relationship with your staffing agency. But then also, as Brad said, that most human company wins. You know, you're thanking someone, you're being positive, you're thanking them for that kind feedback, but then maybe another potential candidate or sales lead sees that interaction and they see 10 of them, they see 20 of them, like, they're real people. They're not just, you know, the other staffing, another staffing agency on the corner who says their service wins. You're actually going out there and proving it and showing in an online open public forum that you appreciate someone taking the time out of their day to share their positive experience that they had with your team of recruiters and maybe your sales team as well.
And if you're leaving feedback off of somebody's review, if you're thanking them, if you're acknowledging them, always mention them by name. There's scientific research that shows hearing your name has a positive impact when you hear your name personally. So when responding to an online review, either negative or positive, always address that person by name. Always be human. Even though you're hiding behind a brand, acknowledge them. Matt, thank you so much for leaving this feedback. We really appreciate it. And then negative or positive, understand the situation. Maybe you even want to sign that. So you're responding to an online review as your staffing company, but maybe you want to sign it as the CEO and actually write your name there as well, so that people know somebody is listening to this. Somebody is actively monitoring these reviews, and somebody is here if you have any questions.
And I think more on that negative side too. You know, we focus on the positive because I think people aren't doing that as much. But, you know, just to reemphasize some of those key points to focus on when somebody leaves your company, negative reviews, obviously try not to take it personal. Maybe take a step back for 5 minutes, 15 minutes, kind of know yourself a little bit there. You know, really apologize and thank them for that feedback. Don't make it personal or assign any blame. And then, you know, short and sweet, get it offline. I think Brad said a couple of minutes ago, you know, give me a phone call or, you know, send me an email here. You know, get that offline, because the absolute worst thing to do in the entire world is to get into a 20-post back and forth just argument about, yes, you were wrong, or no, you were wrong, or, you know, you're crazy, or we're crazy. And it's just, that will hurt your business more than anything that you could ever do. So whatever you could do to get that offline and then have a really mature discussion offline will help respond to that review quickly and then hopefully do any major harm to your staffing agency or business.
I think it was Warren Buffett who said it takes 20 years to build your reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it.
Yep.
The last thing that you want to do is get into a shouting match with a candidate that might have been unemployable, that is down on their luck, that you can't find a job for. The last thing that you want to do is ruin 20 years working towards building that reputation in your local area because of a 5 minute shouting match. That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please tell just one coworker about it this week. Have a question for us? You could tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You could check out haleymarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. I'll see you next time.